All right, let's continue our teaching, the season of fruitfulness. I'm speaking again on the things that we are to do as believers in Christ Jesus outwardly to connect with the blessing that God has given us in the realm of the Spirit. Last time, of course, the last series we did, so as to get into this, that is where we began this from, was inspired by Isaac, all right? And one of the major texts we read then was one, I think we read it last time, though we didn't discuss it in details. It's from the book of Genesis chapter 26. Let's commence from that again today. The book of Genesis chapter 26. Now, let's read this again from verse 1. Again, because we have read it many times, I will jump here and there to get into the thing. So as to save time, and then just read the main ones that is important for what I want to discuss. It said in verse 1, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you.' He said in verse 3, 'Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And what was that? I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.'" So the Bible says in verse 6, Isaac lived in Gerar. And if you jump to verse 12, "Now Isaac, living in Gerar, sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him." Let's stop reading here. Now, we've been reading this again and again. Last time, I emphasized the fact that everybody has his own land. Don't forget that. Let me just remind us of it again. Everybody has his own land that God promised him. And we said that land is in two perspectives. We can look at it from two angles. There is a physical land. There's a physical place you belong. There are places you don't belong. We discussed it last time. I won't go over it again. And then there is a... I've not found a proper word to use. I always stammer when I get to that point. There is a... No, not spiritual, no. Yes, I use the word proper. I'm looking for a better word. Okay, yes, I found a better word. There is an economic land that is your own. That's also good, all right? Yes, that's good. There is an economic land that's your own. It is not every profession that requires your participation. Be very careful as a Christian that what moves you is the fact that something is supposedly making money at the current time. That is not supposed to be the motivation for a believer. This one is making money. You have jumped in there. One of the things you must learn in life is how to use spiritual and keen eyes to look at the things that you are going to get involved in. It's making money does not make it your own to participate in. There are things, at least God has taught me over the years, there are things you will do, it just doesn't concern me. All right? Not because they are bad. You know, there's a book I talk about all the time, and I hope you have read it. If you haven't read it, I don't know why you haven't read it. That's The Happiest People on Earth. All right? I recommend that book a lot of times. That's Demos Shakarian's Happiest People on Earth. There's a story in that book which will just let us, it will help us to emphasize it again. Demos Shakarian was into, you know, business. He was a farmer, and a dairy farmer, you know, used to use a lot of produce. Then once he found out that he could do speculative business and make a lot of money, so he began to gather a lot of, he ordered a lot of grain, all right, believing that after a particular time, the price will go up and you begin to sell and make money. After that point, the price didn't go up, it began to fall. And it was falling precipitously. On a daily basis, in today's currency, he was losing maybe $200,000 in today's currency on a daily basis. That's how much he was bleeding. Do you understand? And then when God pulled him out because he prayed about it again, like I said, that is the advantage of the Christian. He went and prayed about it, and the Lord said to him simply, through his own method, that this is not the kind of business I want you involved in. You have no, you as a person, we're not talking about whether it's right or wrong, But you as a person have no business doing speculative business. That it needs somebody that will give it full-time attention. You don't have that, and therefore this business will not prosper in your hands. But God delivered him. God raised somebody up to buy him out of that business and limit the amount of losses, all right, that he had incurred. Are you getting my point? It is not every business that requires your participation. Do you understand that? All right. The Lord is good. All right. Now, you're following what I'm trying to say? Okay. So, this is the point. So, that means there is an economic land also that belongs to you. Now, I'm not going to go over that again. But I just want to continue from that particular point, all right? What I want to say today, I think I it's unusual, I kind of have a title for it. No, I don't have a title for it, but I can tell you what I want to say ahead of time. I want to talk about the, okay, yes, that's a good way. The breakthrough in the normal. Yes, that's a very nice way. Don't you think so? The breakthrough. You know, I talked about, in previous times, I talked about the simplicity of divine intervention. Now I'm talking about the breakthrough within that which is normal. Do you understand? The breakthrough. Now, you'll see why I'm saying it in a moment. Now, so let's continue talking about what we must do outwardly, okay? That's what we're discussing. What we must do outwardly to bring down to earth the blessing which exists in the realm of the Spirit. Now, if you look at into that Genesis chapter 26, the Bible says in verse 12, it said, now Isaac sowed in that land. What did he say? I didn't hear you. And reaped 100-fold, all right, in the same year. Now, my emphasis for today is the fact that Isaac sowed in that land. Now, God didn't tell him he was going to reap 100-fold. Let me start from that. God didn't say to Isaac, you will reap 100-fold. Did he say that to him? He didn't say it anywhere. What just happened was that Isaac did that which was normal. God said to him simply, dwell in this land, don't go to the other place. Therefore, Isaac lived in that land. You will see, in verse 2, the Lord said to him, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Now, please, I want to ask you a question. Answer me like you are awake, you're not asleep. Did God say to him, so in that land? No, look at it. Which Bible are you using? Look inside the Bible now. In verse 2, the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do what? Live. What does your own version say? So, John, what does your own say? Dwell. Mine says? Stay. All right. So, we are saying the same thing. One word that is conspicuously missing is the word so. God never said to him, so in that land. He said, stay in that land. And then, that is now, notice that God didn't say so. God didn't say, if you sow, I will give you a 100-fold increase. He just said, stay in that land. What was God telling him in effect? If you are in that land, you should do the business that is normal. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you are a farmer. That is what your profession is. If I say stay in that land, I didn't say stay in that land, cross your leg, and be waiting for a miracle. Let me quickly say this. I'm getting to my message very fast, all right? That's why I close that, okay? Let me quickly say this. One of the greatest errors of life is people who hang around waiting for a miracle. Let me say it again. One of the greatest mistakes people make in life is hang around waiting for a financial miracle. Let me tell you the truth, it hardly happens. Those that God gives miracles to are those who are staying in the land and they do that which they are supposed to do in that land. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, you know, I told a story, a man I knew once. One day he was hanging around one of my relatives. I said, why don't you help this guy get a job? He said that the man said that the job does not pay much money. He's waiting for a breakthrough. And when he gets that breakthrough, the money will be plenty. All the days that I knew him, he never saw one iota of breakthrough. If there was anything breaking in his life, it was a breakdown he was experiencing. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, I need to emphasize this one today. That's what I want to teach. He said, Isaac sowed in that land. I said we're going to read something else. Quickly open to the book of Luke chapter 19. Let's read this. I'll connect the two of them. It says from verse, because of time, let me just quickly rush. You know, I came a bit late. Verse 12 says, a nobleman went to a distant, the Lord was speaking a parable. He said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to rule over and all of that, all right? But verse 15, jump into that. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, Master, your mina had made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. You know the rest of the story, so as to save time, I am going to stop here. Now, let me read one more verse. Verse 20. And another came, saying, Master, here is your mina which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, by your own words I will judge you, and you know the rest of the story, of course. Let me just leave that one. Now notice this issue here. The man went out to go and receive a kingdom for himself. And like I say all the time, I've taught from this a number of times. His servants, his slaves that he gave money to, he said to them, do business with this money I have given you until I come back. What does it mean to do business? I like King James' expression here, King James English. To me, it's so perfect because from it, we have derived a lot of words in modern English, all right? King James says, what? Occupy. What did he say? Occupy. If you have a King James there, say amen.
Amen.
That is, that's what you have there. I don't mean you have at home. All right, look in your Bible. What does it say?
Occupy.
He said what?
Occupy.
Now, there are two ways I read it. One, he said, occupy till I come. Or you can read the other way. Be occupied with this until I come. That is a way that's so beautiful to express it. He said, be occupied. Be busy with this thing until I come back. Don't be idle till I come back. Don't sit down and say, I'm waiting for when God will come down and break upon me with a mighty miracle. Be occupied with this until I come back. You read towards that verse 22, you will find out that the young man who had the problem, the slave that had the problem, was the one that was not occupied by the time the master came. I said something, I don't know what, last week or 2 weeks ago. I said, this is not about money. It is about righteousness. I'm adding one word to it again today, and that is that it is about what? Faithfulness. What did I call it?
Faithfulness.
It is about faithfulness. It is not about money. The mistake people make a lot of times as Christians, they think everything is about money. I remember once when I was serving, I served in the military, that's in Nigeria Army. And one day we were talking, I remember one young man who was also a youth corporal with me, and one of the soldiers there was talking about his experience in training, all right? He's an officer, a second lieutenant. So he had just been posted. So one of those days, of course, all young men just sitting down and just talking. So he was now telling us about their training, you know, military training. About the bombardments, how you will be running under, you know, live fire, not move you, you know. They are firing live ammunition, and you have to, you know, run below it. You throw live grenades and stuff like that. So he was describing all those things. And of course, naturally, it's quite intense, all right? And I remember the other fellow, as that man will say, we talk, he say, for how much? Oh, I'm happy you're laughing. Yeah, because it's very ridiculous. This guy is a soldier. He liked his uniform. He was proud of his small rank. He knew what he went through to get to that small rank. And he was just starting a career in life. And he's telling the trainer, you're like, how much? For how much? That's how foolish people talk. Everything is judged in the light of how much. One day, I heard one man who was talking. He was saying that maybe he does three services. Talking to another pastor. And the other pastor said, you preach three services on a Sunday? How much is your prophet's offering? You didn't hear what I said. Some of you are confused what they call prophet's offering. Some of you are Catholics. You've never heard that before. All right? The man was talking. He said, like, oh, we have to do three services because the church is growing. There's no space. So the other pastor was like, what? You preach three services on one Sunday? Hey, how much is the prophet's offering? That is, I hope it was misquoted, all right? It was a very, very silly thing for a man of God to say, all right? Now, but the point is that Everything is being judged in light of how much are we getting out of it. Let me say to you, that is not what Christianity is. The key word there is what? Be occupied. Be occupied. There's something I'm going to explain to you today. As I was meditating about it just before I came, something struck me. You see in the scriptures, they often describe a man by what he does. There are two things you find in scriptures. Most of the time, when they're talking about one man, they will tell you what he does. They may tell you the son of who he is, but what he does. Including the fact that the man was a beggar. You know, the first time I heard this, now, this was many years ago. This was around 1994, thereabout. I don't know whether it's slightly before or after it. Maybe around 94, between 95 and 96, all right? I think so. I went for a meeting, special meeting organized by some people, and Archbishop Benson Idahosa came to preach. And he was reading from that story of blind Bartimaeus. And the way the man was described as that he was a beggar. And he said that this man was a beggar and he was known for being a beggar. And he made a statement I never forgot. He said, whatever you are doing in life, be known by it. Be known by it. It's one of the things I tell people. As a young man, as a young woman, you're talking about work. Before you start saying, I'm looking for work, ask yourself, what will it be that somebody wants done and he will remember me? General merchant is not a good business. You know, you register a company that covers everything. Importation, exportation of crude oil and refined products. Trading in needles and syringes. At the same time, you're a property developer, part-time preacher. Are you getting my point? You're a proprietor of a school. Listen, after a while, ask yourself, what is it that rings a bell about me in the mind of somebody else? Do you get the point I'm making? Archbishop said it that time. He said, listen, whatever you are doing, be known by it. This is the way I want to explain it. In life, make sure you are known by something. The mistake people make is that they don't realize. Now, I'm teaching Christians, all right? I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm not talking to confused people who think that they were giving life to compete with their cousins and who will build the house first. You understand? I'm not talking to those who are so confused, they think their life is about showing off to somebody else who built a house in the village first. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking about people who are children of God who realize that they were born for a purpose. I hope you know what I'm saying. And to those people, you know, the Bible talks about a good name. A good name. What's a name? He said, a good name is better than silver and gold. What is a good name? That is a reputation. You get my point? What I am known for, when people make a sound, my picture comes to their mind that a good name is better than having plenty of money. One of the things that alarms me about our country till today is that you still have rich men, people can't describe what they do. Just think about it for a moment. There are many rich people you know. You don't know what they do. Some of them are maybe currently ministers, they're currently governors, whatever it is. But the first time you heard their name, you only knew they were rich. But there was no name, professionally now, tied to what they were doing. Listen, one assignment I'm going to give you, we said the year of fruitfulness. For the next few weeks, in case you don't have it yet, start meditating about it. What is my professional reputation? That is, if I'm passing, what will people point and say, this is what this man does? You don't have that yet, you have a problem to solve. Now, before you start pursuing money, the first thing you should pursue is what? A professional reputation, that is, a name. Let me put it like this, a professional name. What is a professional name? What is it that I do that comes to somebody's mind, all right? And he needs something, he remembers me. You know, the mistake people make, and that's what I'm trying to teach. We're talking about God bringing forth a blessing into our lives. Is that all right? All right? We are already blessed. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. That the Bible, God says that he's making all grace abound towards you so that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. What we are saying again is that don't forget, there must be a connection built on the earth through which God's blessings in the realm of the spirit will come into reality. That's what I'm saying. And I'm explaining this today, that the mistake people make is that they hang around waiting for a breakthrough. And that was why we read from that Luke chapter 19, that is not what it's supposed to be. Be occupied until I come. And that's what I'm talking about, the occupation. Listen, God doesn't bring special breakthroughs into the hands of idle people. Let me say it again. God does not bring special breakthroughs into the hands of idle people. I noticed that Jesus didn't even call those who were busy doing nothing. If you go and meet a man that is fishing, he will borrow his boat. He will discuss with the man. The man will interrupt fishing. You are getting my point? And then after that, he will give him a miracle. And then he say, come and follow me. Like I said, even a tax collector that was not a popular man in the matters of righteousness in the scriptures. I hope you know, when God wanted to call Matthew, he too was busy collecting tax. He was busy collecting tax. Everybody has something they were doing. Because God, when he returns, that's what we're talking about. You know, he said, occupy till I come. When he comes back to meet those who are occupied. God never said to Isaac, I will give you a 100-fold blessing. He didn't say to Isaac. That's why we read that portion again and again. He said, dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. And I like the way he said it in Psalm 37. He said, dwell in that land and cultivate faithfulness. That's why I said that first we talked about the matter of righteousness. And today I'm talking about the matter of faithfulness. That story I was telling you, that young boy kept on saying, for how much? For how much? This man is talking with pride. He's a commissioned officer in the Nigerian army. You're asking him for how much? You take a million, walk to the market and buy that uniform, whether you won't go to jail. Do you get my point? Okay, let's assume, no, your father is too rich. What's a million naira? It's a billion. Walk to the market, try use a billion naira to buy the commissioning. It does not work like that. It doesn't work. This man was proud of his commissioning. He had only one little star there, but he was happy to show it. Starch his uniform, green uniform very well, and match a lieutenant in the Nigerian army. And you're asking him for how much? Let me say it in summary, you are entirely stupid. Yes, that fellow was entirely stupid. And I remember that day I was embarrassed for him. I was trying to pinch him, like, shut up your mouth. The Bible says even a fool, when he keeps quiet, is considered wise. I remember that I was embarrassed for him. I was trying to just keep quiet. This man was displaying his pride. He is not a commissioned officer. I'm saying something again to you today. Be proud of that which you do. Do it to the level of pride. It is in the midst of that activity that God brings breakthroughs. It is in the midst of that activity, I noticed, those who go out in life looking for breakthrough, they don't get it. They don't get it. They live every day frustrated. Because at the end of the day, they said, today is the day of breakthrough. You know, oh my God, God has sent everybody for different assignments. There are those that God said, go and collect their special offerings for me. Make them poorer than they were at the beginning. Because a man will wake up and say, this is my year of breakthrough. You will sow a seed towards that breakthrough. He's looking for that breakthrough vehemently. Go and see. Forget the few stories you hear here and there. Those who really breakthrough were not looking for it. Those who really breakthrough, in that sense, you know the way they describe it, they were not looking for it. Like that story we read in the book of Luke chapter 19, they were not even aware that the master was using that money to prepare them for an office that he would make them occupy. They were not aware of it. All they just knew was that the master said, take this money and be busy until I come. Take this skill that I have given you and be busy with this skill until I come. I was saying to you earlier, now let me continue from that particular point. Then I heard Archbishop Idahosa. He said, whatever you are doing in life, he said, be known by it. These are people who use titles. Listen, there's a difference between titles of pride. Are you getting my point? And a title that just tells people what you do. Listen, I think now, I'm not talking physically now, but in your mind, I think you should start printing a business card in your mind. As I'm talking now, print your own business card and ask yourself, what will I write on it? One of the things, you know, you should try and remove from your mind is this idea of, I'm looking for a job. The question somebody will ask you is that, what do you do? If you come to me and say, I'm looking for a job, I will ask you, what do you do? When you say, what do I mean by what do you do? I'm not saying, what did you study in school? It's a world of difference. You know the reason why you go to school? Should I tell you? The primary reason is to get educated. So somebody comes to you and says, what do you do? You say, I'm educated. That's a very, very funny answer. What do you do? I'm educated. Listen, I'm talking to believers. You must understand that this is the way by which God will bless you in life. If you want to summarize everything I'm going to say to you today, ask yourself, by the time you leave here, what's my professional name? Forget the word professional. I'm not trying to give you a big title. It's simple. Just describe what you do for people. Ask yourself, people will sit in their homes. What problem would they be discussing? And my name will come to their mind. You say, okay, but I'm still too young for that. Fine. But at least you already have it in mind. So you are building your life according to that pattern. Listen, I need to emphasize this. It is not about money. It is number one about righteousness. What is righteousness? I discussed earlier. Describing God's order of doing things. That's righteousness. Then number two, I'm bringing up the issue of faithfulness. That God is saying to you, this is how I break through upon people. You know, I started by talking about the breakthrough in the midst of normal. There was a way I coined it now, I forgot it. What was it that I said then? In the normal, yes. That is, I'm not explaining the fact that, listen, it is time for you to stop laboring for break. You see, nobody can find, you cannot by yourself determine when the Lord will come. He said, occupy with this until I come. And the day of the return of the Lord, no man knows. Nobody knows when he's going to show. Nobody knows. All we know is that one day he will come. And I'm saying to you again, not just about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but concerning breakthrough in your life, one day he will come. What did I say? I didn't hear you well. Concerning your life, let me say it again. One day he will come. And let me say this to you. Don't bother waiting outside for... When is he coming? Is he coming? It's a sign of idleness. It's a sign of joblessness. He doesn't come to people who are peeping to check when he's going to come. Many times people settle down in Christianity and start analyzing when is Jesus coming. What are the signs of his coming? They start analyzing, is it 2000 and... There was one that happened recently. Is it last year? They keep different things come up. You know why it doesn't bother me? And let me say it to you again. Why it doesn't bother me is because it won't change what I do. If we heard that the Lord, that is authentic gist, somebody left heaven and said, I'm not supposed to tell you, but because you're my friend. I heard the Lord saying to my Lord, it is time to go back to the earth because I have made thy enemies thy footstool for thy feet. He's coming. And by the time I calculated the distance between there and here, and when he was mustering all the angels to get ready, oh boy, he'll be here on Monday morning. And you're telling me this by 3 o'clock on Saturday. Listen, I will still walk up here and say to everybody, let us continue our discussion on the season of fruitfulness. Today, I want us to read from the book of Genesis chapter 26. I'm telling you, listen, I will not read any chapter of Revelation just because some people now showed up and gave me insights of when he's coming. I have found out that he does not come to those who are physically standing still and claiming to be waiting for him. Read our last magazine. I quoted something I've said again here and there. I said, waiting in the life of a Christian is active. Christians don't sit down to wait. They are busy while they wait. You are waiting for Isaac for 25 years. Why it is difficult is because all you are doing is waking up in the morning, painting pictures of Isaac. Anytime you see one little boy, you photograph him and put it on the wall. Isaac will come. You are busy checking. You say, hey, your wife has to conceive first. You go and buy a calendar and start marking safe period, unsafe period for the coming of Isaac. You say, eat carrots, eat plenty of carrots so that Isaac can come on time. You wake up in the morning, you are chewing carrots. Go and read it. I don't think Abraham did that. Abraham, while waiting for Isaac, he became stupendously rich. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes. While waiting for 25 years old. 25 years in Abraham's life, I believe he passed relatively quickly. Because during that period, listen, when he left his father's house, he was alone, essentially, him, you know, a few people. By the time Isaac was going to get married, that's when Isaac finally came. If I forget Isaac first. When he was going to rescue Lot, he mustered an army from inside his household, just like Isaac that came after him. Isaac had control of a great household. The man was busy doing his business. It's not like, everybody, let us worship. Isaac will come. We know he will come. Worship the Lord for Isaac. Oh, Shabbat Mama, Isaac. Isaac, 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 come, 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 come. Isaac is coming, coming, coming. This morning we are beginning a series on the coming of Isaac. Next morning we'll do a series on waiting for Isaac. The following month we'll start on unwrapping the gift of Isaac. Listen, the days of the coming of Isaac will keep on getting more difficult. The Bible says that hope that is deferred makes the heart sick. The heart faints. Therefore, what is a man supposed to do? It is simple. You said, say, Isaac, you will come. When you are going to arrive, we'll be waiting for you. Meanwhile, we have to go to the farm. Meanwhile, we have to get richer. Meanwhile, we have to train this household that is getting bigger. I believe on a daily basis, Abraham had what he had to do. For that reason, in fact, you know, the day Isaac finally, the year before Isaac came, he was busy entertaining strangers. And that was how he met the Lord, who finally said to him, by this time next year, I will visit you, and your wife will indeed bear a son. Listen, I've seen it many times. People are waiting for breakthrough. I say, okay, right, you're going to have breakthrough, so what are you doing right now? Nothing. Don't worry, it will come. I'm sure it will not come. Forget all of that. I know it won't come. You now find me one obscure story that was not told properly. You know, there are stories that are not well told. They were given just to confuse people. Listen, in fact, I think I'll finish my message today. I can close and go home. Though I don't plan to do that, but I can. I can. Yes, that's essentially what I want to say to you today. That listen, though, Isaac, God did not say to him, sow in that land. He just said to him, dwell in that land. There are things that are natural. Listen to me. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. I'm preaching to you today that there must be something that is normal when it comes to occupation in your life. There must be. And it's not primarily about money. It's primarily about faithfulness. That this is what I'm doing. Let it be known that I do it well. I was saying to my wife, when a few people were talking about this over the last few weeks, there's one young man, you know, something happened with him. And I said, look, this guy's making one mistake. He doesn't realize that gifts don't make people. As a gift, don't make people. That is being faithful, being dependable. Those are the things that make people. It is not the man that's most gifted that God lifts. It's the man that's most faithful. And that's why I said, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. In the midst of that, your daily duty, what are you doing? You are cultivating faithfulness. That's what it is. You are cultivating faithfulness. Listen, some things, I said earlier, a good name, the Bible says it is better than money. A good name is better than silver and gold. And when the Bible says it is better, better believe that it is better. What does that mean? It is important that in your business, when people talk about you, it's a good thing they have to say about you. Don't worry about that fellow. He will not cheat you. Don't worry about that fellow. If he says it like this, that's just the way it is. That's what's called a good name. Even when it means that sometimes you will lose money. Even when it means that sometimes you will lose money. The Bible says it is better for you to lose money than to lose a good name. Do you get the point I'm making? That is what is important. It is not waiting every day for breakthrough. Listen, I was saying to you earlier, I'm looking for work. I've been looking for the last 2 years. If you have been looking for work for the last 2 years, and I ask you, tell me what you have done in the last 2 years, you can't tell me. I'll tell you the reason why you have not found work in the last 2 years. Because you don't want to work. Yes, you don't want to walk. What did I say? The fellow doesn't want to walk. Why? Because I don't. Listen, what's a job? A job is the opportunity that God gives you to use your gift to be a blessing to somebody else. There's no reason on earth you enjoy being totally idle. Breakthrough does not come to people who don't have a routine of walking. Just sit down cross-legged, you are moping. So what I look, I'm waiting for when the Lord will come. A breakthrough, a miracle. My brother, my sister, get up in the morning, go and volunteer to work for somebody free of charge. Yes. Go and volunteer to work for somebody free of charge. Why? Because you must be occupied until he comes. One of the mistakes people make, they think, I was just narrating somebody earlier on today about a man who, he heard me preaching on God wants you to prosper. And he says that Christians who want to walk, they'll be saying God wants them to prosper. I feel like telling him, if God doesn't want me to prosper, why am I walking? Are you getting my point? Yes, I have to know it, that God wants me to prosper. For me to get up and be doing what I am doing. It is important I know it. I have to know it first. But why people like that talk like that is that they think that what Christians say, that I say God wants to prosper, it means I will sit down, cross my leg, and be waiting for the prosperity to rain from heaven. No. That's what I'm preaching today. No. 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 There is a routine of productivity that your life must have so that God's miracle will come upon you at the appropriate time. There's a book, I've told the story again and again. It's not a Christian book, just that, like I say, when we look into anything on the earth, if it illustrates the working of God, spiritual principles, I tell the story just to use it to highlight those spiritual principles. If you ever saw this book, in fact, if you haven't read it, go and read it. It's a very nice book. It's not a Christian book, but it's a nice book, okay? You learn some things from it. That is The Richest Man in Babylon. All right? If you've read it before, say amen. Ah, everybody here has read it. Anyway, it's a book that has been around for quite a while, all right? Let me just say this again. That was the last message I preached last year about the sequence of blessings, all right? People want to take, like, this is what I'm saying now, that you must have something you are doing, and you go and preach to a man who is not blessed. Whatever it is that is doing wears him out, and he dies. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I'm preaching to those who are blessed. Some of those principles that you read here and there, they may, in themselves, they don't work for people who don't have something that God is trying to pour into their lives. All right? It's like you go and construct pipe, plenty of pipe. There's no reservoir at the other end. Let's get it right. We are blessed people. We are just building the physical structure. All right? The body for the seed. The seed is spiritual. God wants to pour a blessing into our lives. Anyway, in that book, there's some story there that really strikes me. The man who was narrating most of that, there was a compilation of different things. Now, the man who was telling most of the story, there was something that he said. He was a rich man. He was the richest man in Babylon that they were talking about. But one thing I noticed in there is the fact that he did not make his money in one generation. What I want to bring out is the fact that greatness was thrust upon him by a man who was rich before him. Why? Simply because he encountered this young man and found that the young man, now don't forget, he was working in a public library. He was helping people copy things and all of that. Something like that. That was where that old man came and met him for the first time. The young man was diligent. And then next, he said to the man, how do I become rich? And the man began to teach him those principles that is very popular these days. Save this portion of whatever you earn. Let your savings bring forth more offspring for you. And then he gave his money to the man who was going to the Phoenicians to go and buy something. And he lost money. So, that's another lesson. And he was teaching all of those things. And this young man kept on learning. That's the point. He kept on learning. He kept on learning. He kept on learning. And when that old man saw the progress he was making in learning, he said, why don't you come and work for me? And I'll give you a very good wage. And he went and worked for the man. And then when the man was going to die, he left most of his estate to this young man in that the young man had proved faithful in handling what was given to him. He that was faithful in little was now able to show that faithfulness in much. It is interesting that many people are waiting for God to give them much. They cannot demonstrate that they have been faithful in little in any way. God will not break his rules because you give an offering. Let me say it to us again. I know today's Pentecostals are very funny people. They believe that God is broke that God is a poor man. You know, poor man wants to give him money, he gets confused. Let me just, in case you do not know, God doesn't get confused. No matter the offering you give to him, he doesn't forget his principles. He doesn't forget his laws. He does not forget his rules. He does not give abundance to the fellow that has refused to show faithfulness in little, no matter how much offering the fellow give. Let me emphasize, in case you did not read, go and get my sermon I sent last week. All right? You cannot do anything for God and use that one to obojukali for bring forth a blessing. You know, once in a while, some English words don't work. So I have to invent. I have to invent new words, you know. What's obojukali? Okay, let me give you a proper English word that will work. You cannot by force the blessing out of his hand. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Listen, no matter what you claim to be doing, God will not break a particular principle just because of you. And the point is simple. The one that is faithful in little is the one that will be faithful in much. Once I was preaching somewhere, and listen to this. I prayed a kind of prayer that the church refused to say amen. And I didn't blame them. That was the response I was looking forward to. I wanted them to refuse to say amen, for them to think something's wrong with me. Then I will now explain. I said, may you not find money to start that business you want to start. All of them looked at me. I said, I said, you didn't hear the prayer? They said, no, like they didn't hear me well. I said, I'm praying for you that nobody will give you money to start that business. See, you didn't erupt into amen. If I said that, I pray for you. Of course, it was like, Pastor, please explain. I said, if they give you money you are not used to handling, you'll go into debt. Let me give you advice now. All right, somebody comes to you and says, please, I want you to invest in my business. How much? ₦1 million. What do you want to do? He tells you this and this and that. And please stop looking at the business plan he wrote. Don't worry about that. Put his business plan aside. Say, show me the business you did with ₦1,000 that made profit. I don't know what I heard what I said. Before you give somebody your ₦1 million, I said, there's no problem. Show me the one you did with ₦1,000 that made profit. Because there are softwares for writing business plan. I hope you know. In fact, what is software? You can download business plan from the internet. You can commission somebody to write it for you. Before you give somebody your money, ask him simply, which one did you do? You're asking me for ₦10 million. Which one did you do with ₦10,000? Where did they give you ₦10,000 and you're able to multiply it? Because he that is faithful in little is the only one that can become faithful in much. Do you get the principle we are talking about here? Listen, as blessed people, listen, I said to you before, let me say it again. There is a blessing hanging over your head. It is yours, except that it's in the realm of the spirit. For it to manifest physically, there must be a physical body that is built. He said, a body that has prepared for me. And I'm discussing how you and I will cooperate with God so that the body will be built for his breakthrough, that for his blessing that lies in the heavens to come down and manifest itself on the earth. You know what I'm saying? Somebody comes to you. You know, I've seen it a lot of times. A man, he wants to do business. He's sitting there. Why are you doing nothing? There's no investment. There's no investor. We are waiting for people who will give. If I can just get somebody to give me 50 million now, just watch it. If you have a friend like that, go and tell him that you went to listen to the scriptures today, being taught, and they said, I should tell you, you're a confused human being, you are deceived. Let me tell you about the word deception. Those who are deceived don't know they are deceived. They think they know what they are saying. So if you find a man who has never handled ₦50,000 successfully, who is waiting to collect 50 million to do business, tell him you will go to jail. Listen, and in case you were thinking like that, repent and be baptized. One day a young man came here to see me. I don't know what was his problem. He came for Bible study a number of times. Then one day he said he wanted to talk to me. You remember when Sullivan taxes were new in town? He was looking for ₦250,000 to deposit to collect the Sullivan tax. So he wanted me to give him ₦250,000. Now, we will not discuss whether I had ₦250,000 or not. Let us assume I had ₦250 million. It's my portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Say the amen again now.
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate the prayer. But I asked him a simple question. You want to go and get a Sullivan taxi? He said yes. I said, have you ever driven a taxi before? No, it's a very simple question. It's a young man. You need me. I don't know you. I've seen you your face a few times while I'm preaching. To give you, which I will never do, I'm a pastor, not an investor. I asked him simply. I don't know you, never met before. You felt that, okay, you know, pastors, some believe that pastors, either they are very rich or they are very stupid, one of the two. Or a combination of both. I've seen a lot of times, one young man traveled one day, he's been looking for me. What is it? That he wants me to help him with connection for his GNLD business. I preach the word of God to you free. Then you travel for me to come and look for connection for you to do your business. I told you when I come back next life, in quote, I will teach primary school in Africa. You know why? Yeah, so I can flog people. If you do that in Europe, you're in trouble. But in Nigeria, you can't do it in higher education. So that people like that can be flogged. No, I said that once in a while. Let me not get carried away from my message. This is the message, what I'm talking about. I asked the young man, have you driven a taxi before? The answer he gave me was, no. Why do you want a Sullivan taxi? Right now, there's nothing he's doing. I will take 250,000 and I'll give you to go and deposit to collect a Sullivan taxi. Once you do that, listen, I'm telling you, you have kissed the money, bye-bye. I asked him simply, why don't you look for somebody who has a taxi? If your calling in life is in that direction, or if that's an area where you feel that you can be productive, why don't you look for somebody who will not take 250,000 naira from you, but will just give you the car on trust because he knows you get him to, what do you call it, shorties. Drive the car so that two of you can prosper. That way you don't have 250,000 naira on your neck. You don't have that kind of pressure. Somebody else is bearing that pressure while you are proving yourself faithful. You know? That is why when you go to the bank to ask for money, they want to see your statement for the last 3 years. Am I lying? How many years? 7 years. No, the bankers want your great-grandfather's certificate sometimes. Their certificate. It's 1 year. What is the aim? They want to see your cash flow. The simple thing is that if you have been turning over 10,000, 15,000, you now come to ask for 7.5 million. The banker will look at you and say, do we look like idiots here? The simple, see, you may look at it, okay, they want to be sure you'll be able to pay. Yes, that is true. But the point is this. They want to see how much money have you been handling before you come and start telling us, give us a billion. Listen, these are things that Christians must understand. God of miracle doesn't just work miracle recklessly. I told you, it is not God's favorite pastime to be working miracles. Are you getting my point? Yes. You know, I know he's a God of miracles. Yes. Listen, you are not in the wilderness in which God has to be feeding you with manna. He said, I'm taking you to a promised land. In the promised land, there is a Lord there. Seed time and harvest will not cease. What I will do for you is to give you rain at the appropriate time. I will make sure the sun shines, but I expect you to get up in the morning and go and till the land. He said, I'm taking you to a land from whose hills you can dig copper. The copper does not ooze. You dig it. I don't know what I can say. It's not just go there and just, oh, Father, we just worship you. Copper begins to rain. Right now, we claim copper. He said, boys, go to school, learn geology, learn mining technology. Because this copper, I have kept it there, but I have said, you must dig it. I said to the young man that day, I said, listen, my friend, I don't see, if I was a banker, I'm now adding many words now. Why would I be talking to you? You have never driven the taxi. You don't even know how much taxes make. Yet, you are looking for a mugu that will give you plenty of money to go and collect a taxi so that when the whole thing collapses, you've lost nothing. You just walk away nicely. That was why that day I said to the people, remember my prayer that nobody agreed to say amen when I went to preach in a church somewhere in Enugu here. But I explained to them, this is the reason. You don't want money that will put you in trouble. Listen, money that comes very easily is not always a blessing. No, it's not always a blessing. You know, You know what they call glory? Okay, Gabriel, was you and I talking yesterday? When I was explaining the issue of the weight of glory, that glory is heavy. If you are not trained to carry it, you will get into trouble when it comes. Many of you know Justin Bieber, Bieber. Yeah. How many of you know him? If that guy lives for the next 5 years, beyond 5 years, he gave his life to Christ along the way. You know what I said? If at the end of 5 years, he's still together, then he must have given his life to Christ somewhere along the way. You make a small teenage boy a multi-millionaire. You see the degree of madness in his soul. You seen it? Why? Because glory is heavy. God pours it upon you. You can't think straight anymore. And that's why the God of miracles doesn't just work miracles all of a sudden. Not because he can't work miracles. No, it's not because he can't work miracles. It's because it is not to your advantage that he works the miracles. So he says, listen, in this land, I will teach you when to sow, seed time, and how to harvest. Many people need a job, not for any other reason than they need something to make them wake up in the morning. They sleep too much. You need a man to tell you that, where were you? It's 8 o'clock. How come you are coming 5 minutes past 8? He says, sir, it's just 5 minutes. It is just, how can you say it is just when it's not your time? Who gave you the right to value somebody else's time? Yes, it's not your time. You're working for him. He says, be there at 8. You can't be there at 5 minutes past 8. You're telling him it's just 5 minutes. You don't know the cost of the 5 minutes to him. Just keep quiet and say, I'm sorry. Now, sometimes God just gives you that opportunity to be trained. Remember my emphasis for today is that you must, listen, the breakthrough, the miracle of God comes to those who have a routine of sowing and reaping. We're talking about that fellow, the richest man in Babylon. Remember, by the time they were telling the story, and that's one problem. Most of the stories that people hear, you know, the Bible says that the man knoweth not how. Most of the stories people hear, they don't even know when the real thing happened. One of the number of people I like to talk about, just to give this illustration again. In fact, I tell this story, these two stories. I think I've made my point. Now, just to emphasize this fact that, one, there must be a routine, something that is normal, go to work in the morning, come back, do business, in which you are emphasizing faithfulness, in which you are emphasizing deploying your skills to be of a blessing to somebody, and the primary thing is not about money. Remember that. Now, two stories I want to tell, which you have heard again and again, at least even if you didn't hear it outside, you heard it from my mouth, if you have listened to me long enough, but it's just so perfect to illustrate this, I tell those two stories and we're out of here. Number one is that of T.D. Jakes. You know T.D. Jakes? In fact, I just remember the third story. Aswekie. Yes. Now, let me say something to you. Anytime, the Bible says that the things that are seen were not made out of things that are visible. A lot of people think that when they started hearing about something, that's when that thing began to exist. But that's not actually what happened. One day, I was watching Aswekie's story in my house. And then I was with somebody there and we're talking. You know, we're just standing there. It was on TV. And I think it's his pastor or a senior friend of his was commenting. And he was encouraging people to walk with God and be a blessing to people and all that. He said, you also will be an instant success, an overnight success like my son, Asu. That's Asu Eki. And the person I was with shouted, overnight success! Impossible! What do you mean? Say, I know this man, he's not an overnight success. Now, of course, before 99.999% of Nigerians did not know who was Aswekie. Do you understand? Then one day they heard, you get the point? And everywhere he said, oh, there's one new guy. Did you get what I'm saying? What did they call him? A new one, a new fellow. The guy was not new. By that time, he had been doing that thing for over 10 years. He wasn't new. He wasn't new. You know, I just need to give illustration of experience of how one day a young man came to one of my colleagues. He said he's released an album. What is the issue? That the album, he needs to be promoted. He needs to be promoted. And to promote the album, he needs 300,000 naira. So that man should come and give him money to go and promote his album. And that one sat down and told him simply, when your brother wanted to go to school, he came here for me to promote his No, that, my friend, is a very, very blunt person. Your brother wanted to do this. He came here for me to promote his school fees. Your mother came the other day. I had to promote this one. Then you have now come with an album for promotion. He said, so I'm very, very sorry. I mean, how many things am I going to be promoting in one single family? Now, but I said to him, you should have told that young man to wait and see me. And I told the young man what to do. And I can just give you an idea. I said, you have an album. You're looking for 300,000 naira to promote it. There's an easy way. I will help you promote that album. Let's just do 30 weddings and sing for people free of charge. And tell them anything you give me. Go and meet Stanley as he's printing invitation card. Take the number of the groom. God bless you, sir. I'm a singing evangelist and minstrel, you know. Look for a name for me. Okay, Banky. All right? Yes, as they were printing that your card, my spirit began to say, I can be a blessing to you. Give the guy the album, listen to it. What do you want? I want to play for you on your wedding day. Just pay for my band for something, just what they will eat and all of that. A little bit of money for transportation, anything you put on top of that, we are fine. More than half will turn you down. Don't worry about it. Half, because of their own poverty, they will allow you. If you are as good as you claim, you know, sometimes you can be deceiving yourself. If indeed you are as good as you claim, you sing in 30 weddings, you will make money. After people will be collecting, you know, your number, your card. After while you print card, then one day you say, please, I'm busy, talk to my PA. You know, that's not so they take start. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. Breakthrough comes to the fellow who's busy in his daily routine, not the one looking out for the breakthrough. That's one thing I wanted, but he had left. I said, look, tell the young man. You know, the problem these days, people beg too easily. And this is Nigeria. We're generally very generous people. Even if we are not generous, we don't want you to think bad of us, so we give you money. Professor Ayo Benitez said that the number one problem in the heart of an African is to be at peace with his neighbor. So even when he doesn't believe what you are doing, give him money so that he won't go and pray against me. All these Holy Ghost fire operations now. I'm not going to sleep for night. So, no, for that reason, we are too comfortable. You understand? We don't, you know, as believers, we don't use the ingenuity of the Spirit to solve problems. We just go around begging for money. That's what I wanted to tell the young man. I say, forget all of these things. You are looking for 300,000 naira to promote an album. And I have seen many albums promoted with 2 million naira that didn't make a dime. Those things are capital intensive. They play you on TV, on radio for a few weeks. You had better break through in those few weeks. Once they stop for 5 days, it was as if you were never born. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Nobody will remember one line of your music. As I'm talking about blessing, you need a blessing to carry that thing forward. It's not scheming. Listen, let me just say something in life. Try and let God put you into a simple routine that makes life enjoyable on a daily basis. Not your neck stretching forth every day looking for a breakthrough. By the time you heard the Ewe Ewo story song, the man had been in business for a very long time. Unfortunately, people think that overnight success is normal. It is unusual. What you and I call overnight success is extremely unusual. If you haven't read this book, go and read it. Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. He will tell you that before a man breaks through in what he's doing, normally he will have put in 10,000 hours. Now, it's not. I don't believe that law is always like that, but there's a principle there for you to understand. That is, those who have been exercised in what they are doing, that God tends to give that breakthrough to. Not because he can't do otherwise, or he couldn't have done it otherwise, but because they wouldn't have been able to handle it anyway. The other two stories I was going to tell you. One, T.D. Jakes. I like to end with a Ron Kenoly story. The T.D. Jakes that you know today, he was preaching. Oh God, I saw one of those suits that he was wearing those days when nobody knew. I saw one of those videos. Hey, we said, praise God. Father, thank you for breakthrough upon this brother. If you are his size, you had better be rich if you're an American to get a good suit to look good on you. He was wearing those kind of trousers that Brother T. Jakes, not vexed, just that we are trying to explain something to brethren. For the leg to touch ground, you get to sag down small. You know, original principle of sagging did not reach ground. You drag it down. Boys have now turned it to style. It was supposed to be a prisoner's way of doing things. Because if you don't get trousers that's long enough, you just keep it somewhere down so that it will reach ground. Boys have now turned themselves to prisoners on the street and wearing trousers. Anyway, that's just by the way. The point is that I saw one of TDJ's videos of those days when he was a small man, not physically speaking now. He's always been a large man. But, you know, in fame, in reputation, I saw the video and I had to worship the Lord for blessing this brother. And I can't remember the details, but for more than 12 years, he was pastoring in one small church and nobody knew who he was. By the time you heard the name T.D. Jakes, that man had been in business for almost 2 decades, if you understand what I'm going to explain. But what happened to him one day, the same thing we're talking about. He went to preach for Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson put the material on TV. And then, this man that just died last year now, what is his name? Paul Crouch, happened to watch the 7 minutes that this man was preaching. And that was when he said, "Who is that man?" And that was the beginning of the fame that you and I know about T.D. Jakes. I won't say much more than that because of time, all right? That was it. It wasn't that some people come to practice how he preaches. If you like, inhale until you faint. Look, I'm telling you the truth. Listen. It is not how he moves his fingers that's the breakthrough. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Don't go and be copying him that when the man is talking, then he turns around and then he gives a shout. Listen, shout from now until you pee in your trousers. Listen. If you want to do it, do it. I'm not saying it's bad, though. You know why I don't do it? It's just not my style. There's nothing wrong with it. If I come tomorrow and decide to be jogging on the stage, as long as you are still blessed, what difference does it make? I can jog from now till tomorrow, as long as you are blessed. Is that not what it's local? There are people, listen, and that thing you are saying is a typical black man's way of preaching in America. No, it's not T.D. Jakes. It's a typical American black preacher. There are many who don't do like that. In fact, if you ever heard R.W. Schambach, R.W. Schambach used to shout a lot. And the day one woman wrote him a letter or saw him, the woman was shocked. He thought he was black. I heard T.D. Jakes, the Schambach talking. He said, "That's why I like radio. Nobody knows that." A lot of people thought he was black. Why? Because he used to shout. I remember one of the messages we have, shout, and the wall would come down. Shout! And that's how R.W. Schambach used to preach. And people thought he was black. So it's very common with American black preachers. That is not the key to breakthrough. Did you hear what I said? Dwell in the land and cultivate. That is, make faithfulness a habit. Make faithfulness a habit. That is the point I'm making. The last story I tell before I close, I've told it many times. Ron Kenoly, this one, I always like to say that I heard him tell the story directly, so I'm not making a mistake. I had not written a book somewhere. I went for a school of ministry, and it was the person preaching that morning in Lagos. And he told his story. He was a secular musician. He gave his life to Christ, and he decided he wanted to minister the gospel. He went to Bible school, and then after that, he said, "Okay, let him start recording for church." And he wrote to every Christian recording house he knew and sent them his demo tapes. And all of them said, "Sorry, we are not taking new artists at this time." And one day he said, now listen, by this time, that's what I'm trying to explain to you, having a routine that makes life bearable on a daily basis. He was what Americans would call a music pastor in a church, a choir director. He had a small salary. He was working there every day, leading praise and worship in the church, teaching the choir how to sing, manning the instruments in the church. That was the job he had. He wasn't hanging around with demo tapes. "Have you heard my latest? Have you heard my latest? Have you heard my latest? Have you heard my latest?" He wasn't hanging around doing that. That was the job he was doing. So what happened? One day the way he told the story, after he received the last rejection, he said, "God, if nobody will agree to listen to me, you that gave me the gift must listen to me." So he locked the doors of the church, sat down on the instrument, and began to play. He said he played and worshipped God and worshipped God until he fell from that place, laid on the floor and worshipped God until he was tired, crying and weeping and laughing and everything. When he was tired, he got up and said to God, "I will never ever again write to anybody. Thank you very much." He now faced his job as a music pastor of that church. My emphasis is the job of music pastor. Do you get my point? That was where he was one day. When either Michael Coleman, I still have not known which one of the two, or Don Wen walked in one day, not knowing he was there, they just came for a church service. Maybe somebody invited them. Maybe somebody said, "Come and hear this man sing." He does not know. One of them just entered. He didn't even know who was Hosanna Music. The man was just there, the guy who was just doing normal church service. He did not know that the stranger had come in. I don't know whether you get my point. Just normal, let's worship the Lord. Everybody raise your right hand, let's worship God this morning. And the worship was so powerful that morning. At the end of the day, this man walked up to him and said, "Hello, my name is Michael Coleman or Don Moen," one of the two of them, not very sure which one. He said, "Here's my card. I'd like you to pray about recording." He said, "I'm one of the executive directors of Hosanna Music. Please, I want you to pray about recording an album with us." And the man said, "That was one thing I never had to pray about." After that, he released "Jesus is Alive." Many of us knew about it. Many of us didn't hear about it. And they now did lift him up. And God, now, it's not because the music was good. I mean, I know it was good, though. I'm not going to say that was not the reason why he heard about it. It's because God in heaven said, "Now, break through upon that fellow." And the whole world, I remember, even unbelievers, they were singing "Lift Him Up." And by the time he was teaching us in that school of ministry that morning, he said just before that, I think a few days before, it had just been declared the best-selling praise and worship album ever produced on the surface of the earth at that time. The other interesting part, "Jesus is Alive" now began to sell. I don't know whether I get the point. Those who did not know, they now will say, "One other album, Jesus Alive, where is it? Where is it?" One more thing, this is an interesting one. That church from which he released out, where he was working, at that time, he was still working in that church. He was still the music pastor. In fact, it was in Halford the Lopetai Faith Church, Victory Christian Center in Lagos. And Halford was remarking that they had an issue getting him down to Nigeria because he had to obtain permission from his pastor to be able to come. He was still the music pastor in that church. If it is money, that time he had more money than his pastor. I hope you know that. He had more faith. Who knew his pastor? In fact, now that I'm telling the story, I don't even know the name of the guy. He was going all over the world. But by the time the breakthrough came, this interesting part, he had given up on the breakthrough. Those who are running looking for breakthrough are not the ones that get it. No, they are not the ones. Isaac, God didn't say, "Sow in that land, and then 100-fold portion." I said, "As I'm sowing this seed, I claim 100-fold portion and an iron amount." It didn't say that. God said, "Dwell in the land. Sojourn in this land. Stay in this land." And the man got there and said, "Okay, in the morning, what is a man supposed to do? I am a farmer. This is my training. This is my profession. This is what my fathers have done. This is what they handed down to me." He got up in the morning. Some people are waiting for God to speak to them. Go and do what you are supposed to do. Listen, you need God to speak to you. Don't. The normal thing is to do it. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's normal. That's normal. One day I was talking to somebody who wanted to start a business. I said, "You have to learn the ropes in this business first." Okay, I wanted to start a private clinic. I happened to know him. I was talking to him. "You want to start a private clinic? You just finished NYC." He said, "Yes." I said, "Why don't you go and learn?" I said, "Why don't you just go and work somewhere first? It's not now that nobody will even listen to you. You have to be a specialist these days in Nigeria. But those days, GPs, 6 years in school, 1 year of house job, youth service. After that, license to kill." You understand what I'm saying? The Lord is good. So I said to him simply, "Why don't you go and learn?" I said, "Go and work with somebody else first." I said, "Take a job in the state's Ministry of Health. Work for a while. You know, get used to the trade. Learn some more. You know how it's done. Get a reputation for yourself. People will know that you're good, and then you can, you know." And he said to me, God has not said I should work for anybody. God will never tell you that which you are supposed to do as a normal course of events. Did you hear what I said? Before you demand that God speak to me, please make sure that that thing is unusual. Make sure it is unusual. Make sure it is unusual before you start demanding that God must speak to you. How can you finish NYS? I say, God has to speak to me to walk. God has to speak to you not to walk. If you are waiting for him to speak to you to walk, he will not tell you anything. How can a young one finish? You're not doing postgraduate. You're not doing, you're sitting and say, I'm praying. I'm waiting upon God. What are you waiting upon him for? I want him to tell me whether I should walk or not. God says, well, that's why I sent you to go and listen to Pastor Banky this evening. This is my way of talking to you. Stop being lazy. Get up. All this, your prayer, praise God. You are waiting for a job that pays in millions. All right? You want to go? Oh, God, let me tell you one more story. And I'm out of here. It's not a big story. One day I was in church. I was praying. They were praying for people. One guy said, I should pray for him. I said, about what? He said, he's a footballer. That he wants to go for international trials. So I looked at him. You want to go for international trials? Have you been to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium? He was looking at me. I said, have you been to Enyimba and they didn't try you? Accra United, did you go there and they refused to try you? No, I'm telling you the truth. I said, did you go to these places and they refused to try you? He said, no. I said, oh, you now want me, foolish pastor, to pray with you in the name of Jesus. God will break open door. You will go to Belgium. You ain't going nowhere, bros. Go to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium. Try a day there every day only. You are looking for who will give you contract of $5 million when you have not earned 5 million naira. Covetousness. I told him simply, oh boy, you get some kind of prayer. Well, people like God, they're not training us to pray. He said, Pastor Bank, are you saying God didn't have to tell me anything? I know the proper order of things. Go and ask Kanu Wanko, Philippe the judge, all those people of those days. Ask them. They didn't just wake up one day and then they found themselves trying abroad. Look, for this Enugu, they play ball. They run around the field in Benin. Go Ibadan. That is Lagos. Teslim Balogun Stadium. They were there, jogging around. That was where people like Clemens Westerhoff saw them. You now want to just get up in the morning. Do you know how many boys are keen to go for trial in Belgium? That's where the money is. Everybody's keen up. I said, bros, excuse me. You will go to Nnamdi Azikiwe. I will pray for you. God will give you skill. They will love you. They will transfer you for 50,000 naira. When they've transferred you twice for 100K, then you know you are ready. No, there's a natural progression. Now, I'm trying to say, follow that one. Then when God now wants to break through and say, no, your own will not be like that, let him do it. You can't make a demand on that. And that young woman came to me, the same prayer line one day, pray for me. And I was brought up to ask you what you want me to pray for. Not his way, receive it. How can you receive nonsense? You know, sometimes you have nonsense as a prayer point. I can't be laying hands on you, receive it. Receive what? Let's talk. He said, there's a problem in his life. What is the problem? He said, when he helps people, at last moment, they will now forget him. You will help people, they will now forget you. He said, yes. I said, which kind of people? I said, what do you do? He said, I help politicians. You help politicians. Yes, when they now get into office, they will now forget me. I said, bros, they will continue to forget you. No, you know, if your prayer point is silly, don't come to my prayer line. No, I told him straight. They will continue to forget you. That is divine order. They can never remember you. Only, how would they remember thief like you? I didn't tell him that part. That one was inside my heart. They know you. They can see through your heart. You are helping politicians to do what? I said, without helping politicians, what is your normal job? What do you do normally? That one is not a profession. Tell me the work you do normally. He said, actually, I'm a school teacher. I said, what do you teach? He said, secondary school. What subject? I think either mathematics or physics. I said, that's a very good job. You know me, I like teachers. I love them. I think they are one of the most blessed people on this earth. They have the opportunity to know that is, what are you saying? You turn young men, young women's lives around, bring them into a bright destiny. It's a good job, I told him. I said, let me tell you what you will do for God and God will bless you. You will go back to that school, forget these politicians. Forget them. They won't remember you. No, trust me. I refuse to pray for them. Why should, you know, there are some prayers that if I pray, God will amputate my tongue. Say, Banky, you said what? That's it. Your tongue is in his hand. You'll now be pleading. Baba God, I'll be stitch him back. I know talking like that again. I told him, I said, go back to that school. Forget the politicians. Tell yourself, these children must not fail maths under my watch. I said, tell yourself, these children must not fail physics under my watch. I said, do that. Let me use the biblical expression of Psalm 37. Do that. Cultivate faithfulness in doing that. Then one day, the Lord will come back. One day, those politicians will bring their children to your school and you'll be saying, sorry, there's no more space. I'm sorry, we're full. So I think you should come back next year. The same politician you are trying to beg now to help you. That is what God does. That's why I said to this message, I said, there is a, I don't, which word did I use? There's the miraculous or the breakthrough in the midst of that which is normal. Go for that which is normal to you. I'm not saying become an average human being. I'm saying your life, there must be something that when people mention your name, they know this is what you do. Your profession should be your title. People should know what they will get from you when they need help. Who should they call? If you hear the name doctor, you know, when we are healthy, he's not our friend. I don't know whether I get my point. When you hear the name doctor, you know, we are sick. So this person is a nurse, you know, we have to be sick. These are not normal people we play with if there's no problem. You get what I'm saying? You know instantly. When they say, well, that brother, he's a musician, your wedding, you know, instantly. Do you get my point? Instantly. There are young men, they already know. Every half of the wedding you go for, they are the MCs. They are cracking all kinds of jokes. That's just the way it is. They are known for something. Let it be that when they want to do, look, many DJs have a brighter future with God than many good Christians. So, I don't know what I get my point. Because I want to bless my children, but this one, what do you do? I'm a prayer warrior. What is wrong with you? Which kind of profession is that? No, they have prayer contractors. I pray for people. No, the one young man I heard is dead now. He will fast for people. When you have problems, you go somewhere and go and meet somebody that, please, they should pray for you. They now say, fast for 7 days. They say, but I have work. I have to go to the office. So that young man said, come. 7 days. It's 5,000 naira per day. 5,000 retainership fees. Breaking of the fast, 10,000. Almost everything. They say, it's 65,000. You pay him. He'll go and fast for you. And he was very diligent in doing it. So he collected all the problems of different people. Hi, the Lord is good. Listen, do you know, if you hear Pastor Banky anywhere, you know what I do. Yes, instantly, you know what it means. You don't expect me to come and see visions for you about the witch disturbing you. You know, I think you are the witch disturbing yourself. You instantly know. People know where to call me to and where not to even call my name at all. Do you get my point? Listen, that is the normalcy we are talking about. And you take pride in it. What do I mean by that? You make sure you do it faithfully. A good name. When the Bible says that something is better, believe me, it is better. Believe me, it is better. What's the summary? It is in the midst of this that God will show up one day. He said, be occupied until I come. I hope you've gotten my point.